This is a gorgeous meeting hall. It's, I don't know how to describe it, but I can tell that God has a plan for it and in it and why you have it, because it's gorgeous. And I try to visualize further what it's going to look like as the summer months progress. And all of these trees will be budded out fully with leaves. And the birds will be singing. And I can't describe anything else that goes along with it. But it's a gorgeous place. And I think we owe God, you know, a lot of thanks for having this location. It's just beautiful. I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of time just meditating just how much God loves us and the things that He do for us on a daily basis that I think we just don't, we don't think much of, about. It just goes through our mind from day to day, and we don't meditate on God ways and just how much He loves us and all the things that He does for us. You know, God, first of all, you know, God is not a being without a cause. Everything that God do is for a purpose. And I hope from time to time as we go through life that we will stop and meditate on why God does certain things. It's all for our benefit. We may not understand it at that point. We may not understand it at that time. But it's all for our good. And it's all wrapped up in love because He loves us. So I want to ask at the beginning, what does God want us to learn during the days of unleavened bread? There's a lesson. There are lessons involved with God's holy days. Why would He put us through all the cleaning of our cars? All the intense cleaning that we are involved in cleaning our homes. What are some of the things that God is teaching us to learn during these days of unleavened bread? You know, He didn't have these, create or institute these days just to have some days that we celebrate doing certain things. No, it's a purpose. It's a purpose for it. God certainly, there are important things that God wants us to learn and to put into practice and become a part of our lives that we can overcome and grow spiritually. So these are some of the things that we want to talk about today in today's sermon. We can be ready to place them into our lives and grow closer to Him. The scriptural command during these days when we can consume unleavened bread and cease from eating leavened bread tells us that no leaven shall be seen among you. That's God's command. So let's turn over to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. Begin reading in verse 7. Exodus 13, verse 7, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. And no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall be seen among you in all your quarters. In verse 8, and you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came out from Egypt. Verse 9, it shall be a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. So this is not something that, you know, God just dreamed up and said, I believe during this time we'll have these people do these things and perform these things. No, he had a reason for that, a timetable for that. So while we perform our physical deleavening, we need to keep in mind God's full purpose for these days. So the substance of these days is spiritual. All of God's holy days are spiritual. The spiritual lesson of deleavening should be our focus. And this should be a part of our mind right on through all the 7 days that we keep as the days of unleavened bread. So the sermon title for today, Why Do We Deleaven? Have you ever asked yourself a question? Why am I doing all this? What am I supposed to learn from this? So make no mistake, brethren, God is very concerned about us. Every heartbeat we have, every thought that goes through our minds, whether or not it's good or bad, every desire that we have, and harbor inside of us without repenting of and asking God's forgiveness, God is concerned about this. Deleving is a time that we have to be renewed. It's a time our whole lifestyle should be renewed, because there's so much that we can learn. Have the days of unleavened bread become a physical form for a lot of people? Is it just a ritual practice for a lot of people in the churches of God today? Hope not. Do we let these days go by without realizing the true meaning? What is the real emphasis on the days of unleavened bread? Notice what Christ said in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Begin reading in verse 23, John chapter 4. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. In verse 24, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So God gave us His feast days for special training, special learning, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The truth is that God's feasts are spiritual, but how are they spiritual? How is God's feast spiritual. First of all, God's feasts are divinely revealed. Moses speaking about this very same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. And it says, the secret things belong to the Lord, our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. That was Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. You know, there are some secrets God has chosen not to reveal to us at this time. Many has his reasons for that. For example, no one knows the date when Christ will return. That's a secret that God only knows. No one knows who the two witnesses are. No one knows how God will bring an end to this evil world, and how much more time that we have left on this earth. Only God knows that. And there are some things that are unnecessary for us to know until we are more mature. God is God, an all-knowing God, and we do not have the capacity to know everything that God knows. But we do have enough to obey Him. All of God's feasts are spiritual in content. So originally God gave His holy feast days to ancient Israel. And we find this, of course, in Exodus chapter 12 and Leviticus chapter 23. All go through the reasons why God had these feasts, what He intends for us to learn, and this lessons in that as well. And in addition to the Exodus, the Bible records four occasions where Israel kept a Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Let's turn to Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, and we will read verse 10 and 11. Joshua chapter 5, verse 10. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. Verse 11, and they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. So this was a joyous time for the children of Israel, since this was the first to be celebrated in the Promised Land. And only the third celebrated since the Exodus from Egypt. So the last time was at the foot of the Mount Sinai, some 39 years earlier. We find this in 2 Chronicles chapter 35, and also in the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 6, verses 19 through 22. Let's just notice very briefly then, Ezra, the book of Ezra, we'll turn to chapter 6, in the book of Ezra. We will read verses 19 through 22nd. Ezra chapter 6, verse 19. And the descendants of the captivity kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month. For the priests and the Levites had purified themselves, all of them were ritually clean, and they slaughtered the Passover lambs for all the descendants of the captivity, for their brethren, the priest, and for themselves. Verse 21, then the children of Israel, who had returned from the captivity, ate together with all who had separated themselves from the filth of the nations, the land, in order to seek the Lord God of Israel. You see, when we come before God, you notice there something that is a point there that we can certainly glean a lot of understanding from. But when we appear before God, we are supposed to appear before God clean. That's, you know, it's just something that God requires. And it's not only a spiritual thing, but it's a physical thing. And that's why we look to our dress codes in the church of God. We come before God dressed appropriately. This is what God requires and how to come before him. In verse 22, and they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. So the Passover was an annual celebration commemorating Israel's deliverance from Egypt. But as a whole, Israel was never had a full understanding of God's way. Out of all of the lessons that God taught them, and we know that Israel didn't have God's Holy Spirit, but they never understood the deep things God contained in his feast. They never understood God's plan of salvation because the Spirit of God was not made available to them. So their observance, of course, focused on the physical, similar to the Pharisees of Christ's days. So we find that Apostle Paul summarized Israel's understanding in Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. You want to turn there? If not, I'll read it for you. But Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. Reads, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And this is, here again, is another point we gather from this statement. If we try to do things on our own, brethren, with our own understanding and with our own way of doing things and trying to do them spiritually, we will not grow spiritually. That's just not the way God wants it. This is not the way. I mean, God is God. We must be led by His Holy Spirit. We must be taught His way by His Spirit. So this is one of the things that Israel, wanting to do their things, doing their own righteousness, was not able to accomplish. In verse 4 of Romans chapter 10, it says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." So rather than living by faith in God, the Jews established customs and traditions in addition to God's law to try and make themselves acceptable in the sight of God. But one thing we must remember, brethren, something that should always be with us, human effort, no matter how sincere, can never substitute but the righteousness God offers to us by faith. God's Spirit, begotten children, do understand. We understand this. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We will read verse 10. Verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." So without the Holy Spirit, mankind cannot understand the deep things of God. So the days of unleavened bread teach us that God can only form His righteousness, His character within us if we truly hunger for it. So we eat unleavened bread for 7 days. Picturing God's righteousness that must come to us. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We will read verse 51, John chapter 6, verse 51. Christ said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. So as God's people, we should feast on Jesus Christ, the living bread, the Word that became flesh. And now it is at the right hand of His Father. So we must reaffirm our commitment to believe and obey all the things that Jesus Christ is teaching us. The feast is very important. Certainly includes finding time to during these days of unleavened bread to perform a lot of meditation, Bible study, studying about the weightier matters. We spend a lot of time physically de-leveling our homes, but what about our minds? Have you ever thought about de-leveling your mind? It also needs de-leveling. We need to spiritually deliver our minds, asking God for directions in the things that we need to remove. Apart from God, it is impossible to spiritually deliver our lives. We cannot do it, brethren, on our own. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 26. Christ talking to the group here and on verse 26, but he says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So we are to become a living sacrifice, transformed by God's Holy Spirit to be God-willed instead of self-willed. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5, said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, this mind, brethren, should be an obedient mind, a clean mind, a mind that desires to do the things in the will of God. So if the mind is corrupt, we talked about, we just mentioned about de-leveling the mind. But if the mind is corrupt, how can Christ deal with a corrupt mind in the body that he so much loves and cares for? So it's certainly up to us during these days of unleavened bread to de-leaven our minds so the mind in us can also be like the mind in Jesus Christ. Jesus came in the form of a humble servant. So we are to let this mind of humility and servant leadership become a part of us. Christ has perfect judgment, limitless mercy, powerful faith. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't have to turn there, but 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 states this. We need a perfect Savior, a high priest, Jesus Christ. The experience of preparing for the days of unleavened bread teaches us many lessons. We desperately need God to help us to obtain and live a righteous type of life. One purpose of God's Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Begin reading in verse 5. Conversation that Christ had with his disciples. And he says, begin reading in verse 5. Now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And of course, Christ was speaking here of the Holy Spirit. In verse 8, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you will see me no more. Verse 11, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So unless Jesus Christ did return, the Spirit will not come to comfort and lead the disciples. By his power, the true righteousness of God is being formed within us. The Philippians, back to Philippians chapter 2 again. Philippians chapter 2. Notice verse 13. It says, For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So Jesus Christ imparts the living faith to love God and to love our neighbors. It is this divine love, brethren, that fulfills the righteous requirements of all of God's commandments and feasts. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Begin reading in verse 8. It says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, all are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And verse 10 is the key to everything we've read here. Love does not harm, to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So, when you analyze this statement in verse 10, if you love someone, as Christ is saying here, through Paul, in Romans, if you love someone, you're not going to do anything to harm them. We notice back in verse 8 there where he says, owe no one anything except to love one's neighbor. And a lot of people have taken that in extreme. Well, I came over to your house. I borrowed $10 from you, but I don't owe you anything. He says, owe no one. That's not what he's talking about. You are to owe. I owe you a lot. I owe everyone in here today something. I owe you my love and consideration and appreciation for everything because you are part of God's people. So I owe you something. And that something that I owe you is love. Now, when I go against that, I'm not keeping God's law. So, what good would it do, brethren? And this is a question to all of us, and all of us, including myself, for the days of unleavened bread. I thought about this a lot because, like I said, a lot of people have taken the days of unleavened bread very lightly. But what good would it do, brethren, if we perfectly cleaned our houses of all physical leavening, yet we entered the holy days harboring lust, resentment, or bitterness toward someone? Think God accepts that? No, doesn't accept it. The holy days certainly is a time, brethren, that we are to renew ourselves to remove all of those things. And if we did not, we would certainly be quenching the power of God's Holy Spirit and His mercy, denying the power of God. Our worship toward God would be in vain. So we can do all the physical things, but if we harbor those things in our heart, God doesn't accept that. God's holy days, which are spiritually revealed, teach us to worship our Father and His Son by the living faith of Jesus Christ, and we do that in love. Let's notice in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20, Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So God's holy days encourage us to think not only about love toward God, but love toward others. The focus is away from self and on others. How did the early church keep the days of unleavened bread? How did Paul deal with the problems that were going on at that time in the church? Because Paul experienced with the Corinthian brethren a lot of problems. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul's experience with the Corinthian brethren at that time permeated the congregation there, because there was some things going on that was not in keeping with God's law. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver, verse 5, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with leaven, nor with leaven of malice, wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So it appears at this time, during this situation, that this sin being committed in the congregation, that the congregation was kind of laid back and nobody was very serious about doing anything about correcting it. Paul was very upset about this, and this is what he is talking about. So the physical, the leaven, had been complete in the area, yet Paul gave them corrections, showing them the need to put sin out of their lives and out of the church. So true Christians are described as a new lump. We are a new lump of unleavened bread. So Jesus Christ, the living bread, is living within us, and is by the Spirit of God. So therefore, brethren, we should walk in the newness of life with sincerity and truth as unleavened children of God. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Begin reading in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, Christ talking to the apostles here at this time. And then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. So these apostles had, in their little boats, had rowed themselves to the shore, and the conversation here with Christ, but they had the wrong understanding. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them on verse 8, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Verse 9, do you not understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Verse 11, how is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to be aware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So it's easy. It's easy sometimes, brethren, to set our minds on the physical things. They were looking at the physical things. And Christ was talking about a spiritual lesson here, trying to teach the apostles. So you see, the disciples whose hearts was focused on the physical things concluded that Jesus was speaking about their failure to take bread on their trip when they crossed the sea there at Galilee. But he was referring to the leaven of the evil influence and teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So I have another question to ask you. Is it possible that we could wash our feet, take the Passover symbols, remove the leavening from our homes, and yet still be leaven inside our hearts and minds? Yes, we can. The answer to that is yes, we can. The days of unleavened bread, as we said, is a time for renewing. And if we use the word, just a clean sweep of our minds. We're cleaning, visualizing by cleaning our dwelling places and all of the places that surrounds our property. We do all that cleaning. Everybody understands all of that. But we have to, and we must, clean the inside. The inside meaning the dwelling place, which is the temple of God that we possess. We cannot do all these other symbols and still walk away with things on the inside that we haven't asked God to help us to repent of. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, we will read verse 25 through 28. So woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Verse 26, blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So here Christ condemned the Pharisees and religious leaders for outwardly appearing upright and holy, but inwardly remaining full of corruption. So, brethren, God wants a person's life to be clean inside and out. We are to clean the inside of our lives. our cleanliness on the outside, then will not be a sham. So the true meaning of de-leveling for a lot of people has become no more than a ritual without meaning. But this is a special time to God, and God looks on the things that we do. He gives us instructions about the Passover and the days of unleavened bread through the Scriptures. And we must take this time seriously. As I said, it's so easy. It's so easy to become lax because this world is so filled with shortcuts and time out. And there's so much that's got our minds, going in a different direction. But God wants us to settle down and understand what these days mean. You know, there's people that vacuum their houses and then push the vacuum cleaner up into the closet, shut the door. You clean part of it, but all those crumbs and everything that you sucked up in that vacuum cleaner is still in the bag. And you pushed it in the closet. And you know, I'm just talking about the system has changed. People used to get very concerned about de-leavening and all the other things. And I want to, this is another, just a little scenario here to get you to understand what we're saying. And I've heard this comment too. Of these people that purchased a new house. They've only had it for a couple of weeks, maybe. They did not feel that they needed to de-level in the house. Why? Because nobody had been in there. It's just new. We just bought the house. It's new. But it's the intent. Brethren, it's in the intent of our spiritual lives that we do the things that we need to do. No, they hadn't occupied the house to move the furniture in. But supposing that the contractors had a sandwich back there. It's your house. You bought the house. You purchased it. But the contractors ate a sandwich back there. They left part of it in the corner or something. But it's your house. But you didn't take the initiative to walk through or to leaven like you're supposed to. It's your property. God said, off of your property. So you have purchased the house. So it's just a thought, brother. And I'm just saying these things to get us to see that the importance of following God's laws, the importance of being sincere about God's holy days and the things that we should do is a must. First Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? So our focus should be on removing the physical leaven from our lives and replacing with the spiritual way of life. So, in conclusion, brethren, we have we have seen the seriousness, and we've talked about the seriousness of keeping the days of unleavened bread, the things that we should not be negligent in, and the things that our thoughts should be on, and the importance of cleaning ourselves, de-leavening our mind. Let us, in conclusion then, brethren, let us prepare now to keep the feast of unleavened bread, emphasizing the spiritual intent and the purpose of these days. As Christians, we are called to be a type of unleavened bread, picturing the keeping of these days in sincerity and in truth, hungering and thirsting after God's righteousness. It is well understood by God's church that the number 7 is symbolically of perfection and completeness. So we have 7 days of unleavened bread. Please look at every day. Meditate on every day. Were not God complete the perfect calling that He's made for you? The answer is yes, He certainly will. Throughout our lives in God's church, we are promised His help. And I'll say right up front, God loves everyone in here. He loves you and He'll do all that He has promised. And the Scriptures says that. The Scriptures tell us these very things. And this has been become to me a favorite verse that I meditate on a lot. A favorite verse that I try to memorize. And when things don't seem to be going as they should, I try to go back to this verse. And it's a verse that I've read to you many times. But I'll close with it now. And it's Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Because I know that God means every word, and God will not give up on us. We may give up on ourselves, but God will not give up on us. And this is what Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.